Thank you. You may be seated. And good morning to everyone. Feel free, obviously, please do not use your mask when you are presenting so that we can all hear. I think we would appreciate it if when you are not presenting that you do use your mask. And judges will judge accordingly how we use our masks. We don't have anyone in the audience. We may have some people. We obviously have people watching us. We are webcasting live over NET, but if we do have anybody join, we want to make sure that they are distancing themselves by at least 6 feet. So we have marked chairs appropriately in the back. With that in mind, we are going to introduce ourselves this morning. I should have introduced myself immediately. I'm Mike Hevigan. I'm the Chief Justice. And we will do this by those who have served on the court longest. So I'm going to turn to the TV screen, and the person who normally sits to my right on the bench, Justice Miller Lerman, you want to introduce yourself?
Yep, I'm Justice Miller Lerman, and I'm appearing WebEx. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And next, now to my right, Justice William Cass. Good morning. And to my left,
Stephanie Stacy.
Now down to the front row, we'll start on the center,
Justice Jeff Funk. Good morning.
And to his right,
Jonathan Papik.
And to Justice Funk's left. Very good. With that in mind, Mr. Balsiger, you may approach and you may proceed.
Good morning. I'm Chuck Balsiger, counsel for Gerald Ferris, an appeal from the County Court of Polk County, Nebraska. Decision of Polk County assessing the guardian ad litem fee against the guardian and conservator Geraldine Ferris after a determination that he was appointed as guardian and conservator for a minor child. I was not involved in the underlying guardianship and conservatorship case. Attorney Marty Klein was appointed as the guardian ad litem in this particular case. And during the pendency of the proceedings, the plaintiff was, and appellant was, determined to be the guardian and conservator of this minor child. Upon that appointment and upon the determination by the court, Mr. Klein submitted an application for fees in May 6th of 2019, which was approved by the court in June of 2019 by an order that provided, in essence, that the fee should be paid by the guardianship estate or by the guardian, and made no determination as to whether or not the estate could afford to pay the fee. Mr. Ferris then hired another attorney, Tom Hockabout, who filed a motion to set aside that order, which was denied in July. And upon a motion for contempt and for a motion to compel payment of the fee that was made by the guardian ad litem, I entered my appearance in this case. Primarily, my argument to the court at the time of our hearing in November was that the guardianship and conservatorship fee statutes had been repealed by implication based upon the enactment of LB 930. Excuse me. Keep losing my numbers. Yeah, 934 in 2016. And the judge did not follow that particular law or the statutes that had been amended accordingly, and made a finding that the fee should be assessed to the guardian. LB 934 amended the guardianship statutes substantially. And so the fact that I argued that this was a repeal by implication was an error, but the judge erred as well, which just goes to prove that judges make mistakes just as well as we attorneys make mistakes from time to time. But anyway, LB 934 at sections 13 through 23 modified the guardian ad litem's positions in the state of Nebraska. The judge, in his decision, made a finding that this statute did not apply to juveniles, or to minors, I should say, not juveniles, to minors.
I take it that one of the statutes you're saying was modified has been codified.
That's correct.
Section 30-4210.
Absolutely.
And that's the basis of your argument.
It is the basis of my argument. And
That statute refers to any evaluation.
What's that?
30-4210 refers to the cost of any evaluation.
Yes, but it doesn't describe an evaluation.
Well, it refers to 30-4203, and does that talk about evaluations?
No.
30-4203 does not refer to evaluation.
Oh, yes, it does make reference to valuation, but nowhere is the valuation described. And I would submit to the court that in section 14 of the law, 934, it provides specifically that the legislature finds it's in the best interest of minor children that these codes apply not only to guardianships of incapacitated or protected persons, but also to minors. And it's specific.
And where is that section?
I'm sorry?
Where is that section of the legislative bill codified?
I'm not sure that it is, but it is in the law. With regard to section 15, it sets forth the qualifications of a guardian ad litem. Section 16 sets forth their mandatory duties. Section 17 sets forth their powers. 18, the recommendations to the court. Section 19, miscellaneous considerations, other powers in section 20, and pleadings. Then in section 21, the limitations with regard to the guardian ad litem, and section 22 sets forth the term for his appointment and when it ends.
Mr. Balsinger, you would agree, would you not, that this court has frequently said that repeal by implication is not favored?
Absolutely.
So
I agree with that.
How do you deal with that problem?
I believe it's amended. And the amendment is set out at, I believe it's section 13 of the LB, which provides that sections 30-2201 of the revised statute supplement 2015 is amended to read, and I'm going to delete the non-reference sections, but I'll go to the sections that are important.
That's the section that defines what constitutes the probate code.
That's
right?
Correct. 39-2201 to 39-2902. And then it goes on to sections 14 and 23 of this act.
Okay,
so that's amended. So those former sections were amended and the amendment deleted the provision whereby the guardian could be ordered to pay the fees.
How's that any different than repeal by implication?
Well, it would be an amendment. The statute wasn't repealed. It's an amendment.
The county court relied on 30-2620.01 and 30-2643. The two bases for awarding or ordering the guardian line fees to be paid by the guardian. Is that correct? Those are the two statutes?
Originally, yes, that provided they could be paid by the guardian.
Okay, so it's your argument that those two statutes have been amended?
Yes, sir.
By 934, LB 934?
Yes, they have.
And in what way?
It provides that the guardian ad litem fees shall be paid by the county where the guardianship is brought, or by the guardianship estate after a notice and hearing to determine whether or not the estate can, in fact, pay the fees.
It uses the
There's
term
no provision item. That it be paid by the county or by the guardian or the. And furthermore, on a guardianship and conservatorship, to assess a fee against the guardian and conservator on the protection of a minor child seems to have a chilling effect on the idea of anyone bringing an action in that regard.
Does LB 934 set forth the language that guardian ad litem fees be paid?
Yes.
In what section?
That section 23 says the court may order the cost of any evaluation as provided in section 16 of this act to be paid by the county where the guardianship, conservatorship, or other protective proceeding is brought, or by the court may, after notice and hearing, assess the cost of any such evaluation in whole or in part to the person who is the subject of the guardianship and conservatorship or other protective proceedings.
To support your argument, then, we have to say guardian ad litem fees are the same as evaluation, is that correct?
That's what they're making reference to, I think. It just simply says the court shall determine the ability of the person to pay and the amount of payment. No provision with regard to attorney's fees to be assessed against the guardian or conservator in that section.
That has not actually changed the statute.
I don't think it does, but there's a reference to evaluation, and that's somewhat confusing because it's. Yes. 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 Absent the provision for attorney's fees. And then with regard to the judge's order, he also made a finding that this was more of a custody case, and it wasn't a custody case. It was a guardianship case. Gerald Ferris was not the father of this particular child, even though they've got similar names. With that, I'll submit it and request that you determine this case in our favor and remand the case to the county court for further proceedings, or else make the decision yourselves. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Mr. Kelly, good morning to you.
Morning. Morning, Your Honors. I'm Brent Kelly, County Attorney for Holt County, Nebraska, appearing on behalf of the people of the state of Nebraska, appellee in this case. With due respect to appellant, I disagree with his reading of two statutes. That's 30-4210 and 30-4203. If we look at the plain language of 30-4203, sub 2C, that statute authorizes a guardian ad litem who's been appointed to request a court to order evaluations, medical evaluation, psychological evaluation, geriatric, or other evaluation of the person who is the subject of the guardianship or conservatorship. Later, if we look at 30-42-10, that statute authorizes a court to order the costs of those evaluations, specifically referencing the evaluations in 30-42-03, to be paid either by the county or the person who's the subject of the proceedings. We're not dealing with that in this case. In this case, what's been appealed and what's before you isn't the cost of an evaluation. It's guardian ad litem fees. And I would submit to you that nowhere in the case law and nowhere in statutory law and nowhere in the history of the state of Nebraska do we ever call guardian ad litem fees costs of an evaluation. I think we look at the plain meaning of the words in that statute and how it references 4203, and that's costs of an evaluation. We're not dealing with
your opponent seems to characterize the legislation as an amendment by implication. How do you respond to that, Mark?
I disagree wholeheartedly. I believe my position is that we're dealing with different subject matters. For it to be an amendment or a repeal, either way, by implication, we'd have to deal with the same subject matter. In other words, fees of the guardian ad litem. But we're dealing on one hand with fees of the guardian ad litem in this case, and the statutes he references are dealing with costs of an evaluation. They're different things. And
is part of what a guardian ad litem does an evaluation?
I think a very small part, and that's part of my argument, is that guardian ad litem does so much more than an evaluation, a medical evaluation, a psychological evaluation, a geriatric or other evaluation. If we look at 4203, those evaluations are of the person who's the subject matter of the guardianship or conservatorship. But a guardian ad litem evaluates much more than that. Guardian ad litem evaluates the ward, might evaluate the father of the ward, the mother of the ward, if there's people competing for the position of guardian, the guardian ad litem would evaluate those people. And so that in itself, I think what a guardian ad litem does is so much more than an evaluation.
What do we know about what the guardian ad litem is here?
I don't know. So I was not the state of Nebraska, and me as the county attorney, we're not a party to this case. We did not become involved. I did not become involved or receive any notice in this case until following the trial, following the order appointing guardian conservator, and upon application of Mr. Klein for his GAL fees. That's the only point at which I became involved. My understanding would be is that he fulfilled the duties of guardian ad litem and evaluated the mother, evaluated the father, evaluated the minor ward, and issued a report.
What kind of valuations do you believe would be charged to the county?
I think the evaluations specifically referenced in the statute, medical, psychological, geriatric, or other evaluations, what we commonly would see would be alcohol evaluations, drug evaluations, psychiatric evaluations, psychological evaluations, medical management evaluations. So that I think that's the type of evaluations the statute refers to.
Thank you.
You've mentioned a couple of times this morning that you are here on behalf of the state of Nebraska. Are you here representing the state, or are you here representing the county?
Holt County, I guess. Sorry, okay. That maybe that's a term of phrase I'm used to. In my complaints, it normally says the people of the state of Nebraska versus.
Did the county intervene below?
We never filed an intervention. I simply received notice after the trial in this case, and upon Mr. Klein's application for fees, Mr. Klein noticed the county in, I think just out of customary practice, because I think he wanted the county to pay the GAL fees.
You showed up, in other words.
Yes, Your Honor.
So to that extent, at least, you entered.
I suppose so. I think the right answer in this case is to look at 30-26-43. That statute authorizes what Judge Burdick did in this case, and I think his order should be affirmed. That statute deals with conservatorships and the point, specifically the appointment of guardian ad litem within a conservatorship. The case before you is a petition for guardianship and conservatorship of a minor. So I think we meet the conservatorship part of that statute.
So if a conservatorship had not been asked for, 2643 would not be applicable.
Well, that's what I was just getting ready to get to, is that if we don't use 302643, the road gets very bumpy.
It seemed like the county court kind of recognized that as well in its order.
Right. So when we look at those statutes and the case law, what I think we'd find is that in Chapter 30, there's basically four ways that we're dealing with guardian ad litems. So that's in the context of conservatorship for a minor, guardianship for a minor, conservatorship for a person under disability, guardianship for a person under disability. So those four ways. However, when we look at the statutes, we only have statutory authorization to pay the guardian ad litem in three out of those four ways. It's pretty difficult. If we were looking at a case of a strict guardianship of a minor and GAL fees in a case like that, it's kind of tough to find statutory authorization to pay those fees. This court does have some authority that may bear on that. That's in the guardianship of Ryden P. 286 Neb 661, that was a guardianship of a minor. And I think the court kind of says the same thing, is that there's these four ways, there's only payments only authorized for three of them. And then the court found that the attorney's fees could be paid from the estate of the ward. But it's kind of tough finding a statute that says that. And so that brings me to another way that you could handle it that I find a little bit unsavory, but it makes more sense than calling evaluations GAL fees. And that's to say the intent of the legislature is expressed by omission as well as by inclusion. And so what you could say there is they gave us a way to pay fees in three out of the four cases. They didn't give us a way to pay the GAL fees in this case, and therefore Mr. Klein worked for free. I can live with that, but I don't think he can. So that would be another way to handle it. I think there's a third way to handle it. When we look at those four ways to have a GAL appointed and the three ways that we're authorized to pay them, the reason I think it looks like there's only three ways is because of the title heads and the section heads of the statute. So if we look at 302643, the actual language of that statute by itself would probably solve all of these issues and would probably authorize payment in all four different types of proceedings where a GAL could be appointed. The problem with only looking at that is that when you look at the section heads, the chapter heads, and the title heads, it appears that 302643 only applies to conservatorship cases.
Don't we have a statute that says that section headings are not part of the law?
That would be 49802 sub 8. And that's my argument, is that if we ignore those, then 302643 seems to handle everything that comes up.
So just so I'm clear on your argument, which of the four are you claiming that there's a statutory gap? What is the
understood law? Guardianships of minors. So when we're dealing with a conservatorship, the way anybody reads 302643, it covers both types of conservatorship, persons under disability and minors. When we're dealing with guardianship, 2620.01 deals with guardianships of persons under disability, but you don't really see any.
You don't think that our statutes characterize a minor as someone who is incapacitated or lacks capacity by reason of minority of law?
That's entirely possible. The county court did not read the statute that way.
Assume that that is the correct reading. Then doesn't the statute cover all four?
That would handle it as well.
All right.
I see that I'm out of time. I don't have anything further. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Do we have any time for rebuttal?
Yeah.
There is no time for rebuttal, so that concludes arguments on In Re Guardianship of Ferris. Thank you both very much for being here today.